If somebody's got a problem, they're like, oh, so-and-so did me dirty or whatever. No, you did yourself dirty. So even if it's not something that you intentionally realize that you did, something about however it is that you see yourself is cause other people to respond the way that they did to you. So if you think people did you dirty, more than likely they didn't. It's how you viewed it and how you view yourself. And it's a lot easier to point your fingers at other people than to turn around and say, you know what, it's on me.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Inside Out Podcast. I'm your host, Yemoria Wright. The intention of this podcast is for you to enrich your life with behind-the-scenes interviews from entrepreneurs and thought leaders who are ready to keep it real about their journey thus far and what making an impact looks like to them from the inside out. Enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inside Out Podcast. I'm your host, Yemoria Wright. It is November 2020. Chad and I recorded our original episode in July or maybe even late June. It actually, I believe, was June. I'm pretty sure it was June because my niece was still here in California. And my mic was broken, my previous Blue Yeti. So I was... Long story short, it made no sense to try to save that interview. I figured enough is happening in the world and in our personal and career lives to continue the conversation and re-record. So, Chad, thank you so much for being here. Is there any update to your bio or is what I have here solid?
The bio's the same, just about. The bio's pretty much the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read it. Let's get into it. All right, everyone. If you do not know Chad Milner is a writer, musician, and content producer. If you didn't already know that based off our conversation, based out of Long Island, New York. In 2012, he started his website, Single Dad Adventure, chronicling the growth of his daughter, Sydney, and himself after the loss of her mother and his fiance. His love letter to family, friends, and well wishes became a profession in 2013 when he became a columnist for Madame Noir, penning insightful essays about Black fatherhood. Black fatherhood. His work has been featured in The Root, NBC News, The Real Daytime Show. What'd you say? The National.
I just said it's gonna be one of those episodes. So just
and many others. Oh, yeah, for sure. All while Single Dad Adventure has been read in over 170 countries. Holla. Chad has recently released his most... why is this redundant, Chad? Chad has recently released Superman with Tim's On, which is his recent project, a docu-series that explores the complex and often misrepresented insights of Black fatherhood in June 2020, that's when he released that. In the series, fathers born between 1979 and 1991 speak on their experiences to answer the question, what happens when the first group of men born into the hip-hop generation grow up and become fathers? Aside from Single Dad Adventure and Superman with Tim's On, he is a podcaster. We're going to get into that today, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, awesome. Since 2016, he's co-hosted a podcast with his daughter and nephew, Sydney Being Sydney Podcast 2013. He is the music producer for In Those Jeans, a podcast that breaks down Blackness and genetics through a cultural lens, and coming soon, Read It Because I Wrote It is an audio version of his written work over the years, as well as new essays and musings. Dope, dope, dope. We are here, Chad.
One more thing. I guess in the introduction, the other new think? Project that I've been working on over the summer is I've been writing again, and it's something I've just called an ode to self-care, in which I just took like my Spotify list and I wrote about, I use each song as a prompt, and I'm turning it into an audiobook.
That's so dope. And I was reading some as well the other day. And I think that's really, like, you have a lot of creative genius, and Your muse is very active. How are you managing all of this?
That's a very good question. How do I manage it? Well, sometimes I like to think that I've learned to compartmentalize pretty well. And I just somehow or another find a way, you know, like I started writing again because I took time off or only wrote personally, but I told myself like I wanted to get in shape. So like, let's just say, but because even now, like that started taking so much time, that was the reason why I didn't finish releasing the rest of Superman Thames on, because it just felt like in the space that I was in my life, this project right here, the amount of time it takes to write, let me do that now. And, you know, the second half of the series, it's already done. So when I have time to like do all the little marketing things and make all of the graphics and stuff like that, when I'm not writing these pieces 3 hours a day, all right, I got some time. Mm-hmm. And then if I, you know, like I wind up doing a lot in the day. So many days, like if I wind up writing in the morning after I drop my daughter off to school, you know, I'll do that for a while. I'll find a way to take a break so that I can switch gears. So like, all right, you know what? I know I can't edit something right after I write it. So you know what? 15 minutes or so, maybe I'll, you know, go, you know, I'll run an errand, take a quick nap, eat something, something to switch gears. And then, all right, you know what? I'm going to work on music for this for a little while. Do the same thing. Okay, now we're going to edit some videos and go over that. Fine. Pick my daughter up from school, you know, do all of that. All right, you know, it's nighttime. I'll edit what I wrote in the morning. You know what I mean? Like anything to just kind of give myself a break to switch gears. And then I think at the other time, I think in other times, I was just going to say, I don't know. I think there's a delay, but... just always finding something to be your muse. Like if or when in doubt, I'm always on the constant search for a muse and inspiration. So if or when in doubt, if I don't have it anywhere else, there's something in me somewhere, you know?
Yeah. So tell us your story. And I, man, like that first interview we had was so dope, but it's okay. Everything happens as it should. Am I very loud right now?
No, but no, you're not. You're good.
Okay, cool.
Hold on 1 second. All right,
excellent.
I know it was good. So, my story. All right, let's try to do this in the really, really condensed version again. With all of the drama and stuff from last time. So I'm from New York. I went to college. I went to Morehouse College between 2003 and 2007. Decided to stay in Atlanta. Was in music all my life. My parents are artsy people. My mother's an art teacher. My father's a musician. And I just always wanted to be in the music business. Got my start down there. And I met this pretty girl across the street at Spelman College. And we decided, hey, you know what? Let's try this life thing together. So we were in Atlanta till 2010. And we found out we were having a baby. Because she was a military brat, her family was in Virginia. But the rest of her family, their base was Buffalo. So moving back to New York was the... All right, that's in between everybody. And the plan was after we have our baby in a little bit, we'll move back to and go to our lives in Atlanta. On the 37-week checkup for, you know, just full term for our daughter, it turned out, you know, well, she's in lower 10th percentile. So, you know what? We'll induce your labor. And my daughter was born February 14th, 2011. So it turns out that, you know, she was still having complications and stuff like that. So we thought, you know, maybe it's preeclampsia and stuff like that. But, you know, these symptoms went on for too long. They started running tests and see what was possibly wrong. So 9 days after my daughter was born, it turned out her mother had esophageal cancer or adenocarcinoma, which is bugged out because the average age for that is 73. So at 25, you're like, okay,
wow,
we got this new baby. We're in this hospital. We're trying to figure out how we're starting our new lives together. And then you've got this, you don't know what stage it's in. Mm. And holy shit, for lack of a better expression. So we were deliberating whether we were going to stay in New York and go to like Sloan Kettering, or, you know, be in Buffalo where she wanted to be like close to a lot of her family. And Virginia just was not an option. But so about 6 weeks after my daughter was born, like we tried Sloan Kettering and she just didn't feel comfortable there. So we moved to Buffalo. We moved to Buffalo from March 23rd, 2011 until the end of October. And, you know, we made a life out there. I had a job. And she just said, you know what, I want to move to Virginia and be around my parents, my brothers and stuff like that. So we moved. So November 2011, we moved down there. And after 3 weeks of being there, the family just made an incredibly hostile situation. So my parents came down, got involved. So what happened was, after the hostile situation in which I just didn't get the goodbye that I deserved, or I was like, you know, I'll be back in a couple weeks, and they shut her phone off, everything. So I kept trying to, you know, be in contact. December 9th, 2011, I got a DM through Twitter asking how's Tamil doing and stuff like that. I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, just trying to give an answer, not letting anybody know what's going on. They're like, oh, we heard she died. Okay. So in essence, what happened was I found out the mother of my child died through a DM on Twitter. The family never reached out to me. They didn't tell me when the funeral was and stuff like that. So I just began to lawyer up because I wanted my child.
Wait, you said that you weren't able to attend the funeral? Is that right?
Yeah. No funeral. They didn't call me and tell me she died. None of that.
Wow. Okay.
So I just, I started the procedure to get my child back in New York, in which they were just trying to delay and slow everything down. And then, like, so our first hearing was January 4th, which was awesome. The hearing was that day because that was her first birthday not on Earth. So for y'all to have to show up in court for me and my child on that, it let them know, you're like, I'm not fucking around with y'all. And they were like, well, you know, we can't get up there. They appeared over the phone. You know, can we have a delay hearing? March 1st, the next hearing. Of course, it turns out the DNA test says that that's my daughter, because some of what they were holding against me was like, yo, we believe he's the father, but his name's not on the birth certificate. Meanwhile, we were 25 years old signing all kinds of shit and doing it on our own. So, you know, like the form that you find, like we thought the birth certificate was where I signed my name, was the form where basically you're just confirming legally this is your daughter's name. It's not the birth certificate. It's a completely different form. But you don't know that at 25. Or you think you sign it and just should be happening. So I go to family and stuff, and Virginia says, we have a feeling you need to file in Virginia. So March 6th, I go down there to file, show up in court, and like to file my petition. And they say, Chad Milner, can you please come in the back? Okay, what's going on? Did you know there's a hearing for custody tomorrow? No, I just happen to be here from New York. Yes, there's a hearing for custody tomorrow, based on the grounds that they don't know where you are. Oh, well, that's not true. Here's all of this paperwork from New York that we've been going through proceedings there. Okay, we're going to add your name to the docket. You'll be there tomorrow. So, like, I was supposed to be back in on my way to New York that afternoon, had to go to Burlington and basically get, you know, the drug dealer I'm going to court kit, you know, where you buy the shirt, the cufflinks and ties for $20. and show up in court. And that's what I did. And, you know, they scheduled a hearing after that. But by that time, I'd already known, since, you know, Virginia's a Commonwealth state, all I needed to do to get my daughter was have legal proof that I'm the father. So after a couple of weeks, I lawyered up. my mother, who was going through breast cancer at the time, like she had a surgery. And the first week of April, we went down there to get my kid. And that became a little bit of drama. But, you know, they're like, we'll do an impromptu hearing, you know. And of course, at the end of it, they said, like, yo, we got to follow the Constitution. He's the father. Basically, unless you can prove that I'm smoking crack, that's the only way you're going to get custody of my child. And I've had her ever since. So, like, with everything that happened in 2007, like, I gave up my industry dreams for my daughter's mother because it just didn't seem like it was aligned with what she wanted to do. And I saw, like, how it affected my parents' relationship. So I gave it up, and I felt a little lost all those years. What happened after that was, you know, to all of my friends and support, you know, everybody, just all of our friends, some of everywhere, you know, I figured the thing that I could do is just let y'all see my daughter grow up. And that's how I started Single Dad Venture. Just, you know what, let me tell these stories of, for all y'all everywhere. So people keep asking me, oh, well, how's Sydney and all that other stuff? You know what? You can all go here and read how it's going. And just, you know, kind of into it, I started telling my own story. Like, as like as each year passed, like, I mean, like, so let's say if Friday was, if Friday made 9 years to the day where I went through the beginning of things going south happened, on that day, I wrote about, yo, here's what happened a year ago today. And just from there, things just kind of took on a life of its own. And then, you know, just in time, you know, I start, you know, stuff started picking up. I started writing for other places. And then, you know, like the death of the blog happened and the birth of the influencer happened, like right as I was starting to hit my stride. But, you know, while everybody's trying to figure it out, all right, well, now I've got to get into all of these other content things to kind of market whatever I'm doing because my readership is dropping.
Right.
So that's when I started doing all of these other content things. And just one thing just kind of led to another. And ultimately, life just seems like as soon as I came up with the idea of Single Dad Venture, that's what my life became. That's when the stories came. That's when the crazy dating story started happening. That's when just life became one big dramatic comedy and source of inspiration of shit to write about.
Is that what you see life as? One big dramatic comedy?
Absolutely. I know God has a sense of humor. And it's one of those things where I say, yo, I swear I think God is a lot like ODB. Like, I think that's what God is like. So, you know, that's my dynamic with God is just, you know, I feel like because I can just find humor in anything and like that's my coping mechanism of choice. Like it's everything to me. So I think he points out the humor in these things and that's just how we connect. So if I see things and I always find the humor in it, then of course, what's going to keep happening? The humorous stuff, you know? And I just, you know, like really, even though, yo, I think of ODB as God, like I wrote about it, but like, you know, in a sense of Brooklyn Zoo, but there is no Brooklyn Zoo. That doesn't exist. You know, that's God.
Okay, Chad. So if okay, we're gonna go with this. So God reminds you or ODB, you know. Okay. So what has been the most comedic, dramedy moment of this year? Because this is that. I mean, this is that's 2020s. I mean,
this year.
Oh. This year, 2020.
Let's see.
Like, if you could, let's say this. If you could offer people with because you're able to spend the most traumatic and painful moments of life, you're able to push through them. You like literally, you were able to see like, okay, what's important right now? It seems, and correct me if I'm wrong. It seems that you were able to say, grieving right now is not important. Sydney being with me and having her father in her life is important. So I can't focus on my grief right now. I have to make sure I get my daughter. Did you ever take a moment to grieve? Okay. I mean, and by a moment, I mean like,
well,
the years to do so?
Yes and no. Like I said, I've learned to compartmentalize like really, really well. So I often separate how I feel, deal with the moment, and sort through my feelings later. And often just in that, I dealt with things as they came along. But even like, I'll tell you what, and I'll just be transparent with you, or the V word. So within the last week, I've been dealing a lot with vulnerability. You know, I have my reasons. And for some reason or another, everything in the last week has just flooded me. And this year is the first time in 9 years where everything that's just been on me has finally got to me. So like this last week, I've been an emotional wreck, but I had to hide it. Because, you know, I'll tell you why. And this is just part of the compartmentalizing thing. And like I said, in the spirit of the V word, I was talking to my man about it yesterday, in the sense of what winds up happening is, because I have these fairly unique experiences, it's hard for people to relate. So, it's hard for people to relate. Then there are times where it's hard, where you don't want to tell things, because then you just become a story, and a story of triumph. But it's like, I'm human with feelings. You know, I just deal with shit very well. So many times you just wind up carrying, or I wind up carrying all of this stuff, because there aren't many places to go with it. There aren't a lot of people who can relate. Because even if or when I'm telling my story, I have to be hypersensitive about how intense my story makes others feel. And that is a very hard thing to carry, because it's kind of like, damn, I'm going through it. And it's like, yo, hey, like, let's just say even, yo, you're asking me to tell my story now. You're like, yo, that shit is crazy. And I'm telling the condensed version. But I started off like, all right, you know what? Let me tell you the condensed version. So that like, prepared you, my lighthearted way of telling you that prepared you for me telling you some heavy shit lightheartedly. Like, that's how, those are ways I often deal with how, like, being aware of telling that story and stuff to other people. Or, you know, like, let's just say if you're dating people or you meet somebody and you're like, all right, you know, well, I'm widowed, you know. The other people, they can tell stories about their ex-boyfriend. And then you sit there and be like, yo, you know what? I got vulnerability issues because the last time I was vulnerable, someone tried to take my kid from me. What the fuck? Like, that's a mind fuck for somebody, you know?
Right.
So you're holding on to all of
these. So the picture you just painted for me. Right. But you just painted a picture for me right now where, this could be my writer imagination, but where you're on a date. And maybe it's even the second date, right? Look at, we're about to write a film. Y'all don't take this. Me and Chad are writing a movie. No, you're on a second date. And the woman's, you know, like, oh my God, you know, just talking about whatever problem she has, which is, relatively speaking, it is a problem. You know, she has her challenges. It's her life. She maybe was heartbroken because somebody cheated on her, something, you know, whatever. Then you share your biggest heartbreak. And now, does it feel like you have to take care of her because she can't handle your biggest heartbreak? Is that what you're saying?
On the second date? Hell no. That is not my problem. I don't know you that well. Later, maybe.
Okay. Well, Chad, play along. Okay. Well, play along, Chad.
No. I know. No, honestly, like I said, I deal with things in humor. So that is my honest answer. But really, what happens is, just you kind of learn to navigate and how to tell the stories, because at some point, even when you do that, what you wind up becoming aware of is, even if it is a young lady of interest, is at some point or another, whether you can reassure her all, I can reassure her all I want to, hey, this is where I'm at, it's about you, and all that other stuff. In some way, shape, or form, in the back of her mind, it's like, what the fuck? I'm competing with a ghost. Because it's not like, oh, you know, wow. Well, the relationship ended because we broke up. Died, you know? So, like, at 25 years old, I've lived the whole process from, hi, my name is Chad, till death do us part. You know, oh, man, that, you know, so certain things will go through your mind, like, oh, well, you know, well, then that means, oh, even if it's having children, oh, you've had them before, like anything that could possibly be a new experience, you know, just, and like, I hate to be that guy and say it that way, but in the sense of generally speaking, you know, women, other women who you've dealt with, whether it was all good or not, become a rival. Even just my daughter's mother, my daughter, at some point she was like, I don't want to have a girl because then I have to compete for your attention. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a thing. Mm-hmm. So if you tell somebody like, yo, mm-hmm. this was somebody I loved and this happened, then, and I've got this kid that's a reminder of it. Like at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and I look in the camera when I say it, you got to have a lot of confidence to deal with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that really, you know, that actually, am I going? I'm going. Okay. You being vulnerable and saying, here's why vulnerability is challenging is something that I think that takes a lot of mindfulness and awareness, self-awareness, because I think that I'm somebody who is toggling the fence of, am I an empath? Do I want to identify as an empath? Do I want to identify as highly sensitive, or do I even want to identify with any of those things, those labels at all? But I will say I'm somebody who can pick up on people's energy really quickly. And it sounds like you naturally have had to, whether you were like that at 25 or not, being a father, being a single father of a girl, you've had to tap into a different type of energy. And I think that it kind of puts you in the mode, from what you're saying, of having to take care of other people's emotions sometimes by pulling back. And I think a lot of people don't realize that those who go through the most, they're not always being moving in silence or being secretive or whatever, just because they don't want you in their business. Sometimes it's because they don't know your threshold. Like when people have been through a lot, sometimes they don't open up because they don't know your threshold. And the last thing you want to do is tell somebody something you've been through and they're crying and you're like, huh? Have you been through it too? Or
right.
What's happening?
Right. It's kind of like I tell
but
people.
You did say. Like,
mm-hmm. No, I was just continuing. No, continue. You know, it's the delay. So continue. It's your show.
No. Well, I was going to say that you said you actually wrote about a friend or a guy. I don't know. I mean, a homeboy, a man who you were talking to, and you found out in conversing, I'm assuming you guys weren't that close at that point, but you found out that you both lost your fiance at 25.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about like finding that camaraderie, and like, that's big to be able to find someone that has like almost I'm not going to say mirror, but that point, like that's very specific.
Well, I think it's a few things. The first part of what you're saying, like when you're talking about identifying with things, like I'm a firm believer in everybody has spiritual gifts, and mine is just discernment. And I've kind of always gone with it. So even like mm-hmm. I did 2.5 years as a business major, changed my minor to a major in psychology. So even just somewhere along the lines of it just was one of those things that just kind of always went with what I had. So I've just constantly gone through the experiences, fine-tuning discernment. As far as my friend, like we were always cool. We've been cool for years, you know, just being around like our kids, you know, doing sports or activities, and you know, we'll chop it up and have conversation. And at that point, you know, we were just having a conversation and he said something to me about just like, yo, you know, this is kind of like, yo, this is some crazy shit that I've been through. but he wasn't expecting the answer back to be, when I was 25, I went through that too. And we both, like, when he said it, I was like, and then when he said it, it was like, you know, so while we're sitting there at our practice for our kids for something, like, we're just having this conversation of, like, he's telling me what he went through and I'm telling what I went through. And, you know, for once, you could just kind of see on both of us, it was like, yo, it's good to finally have someone to share this with that gets it.
Yeah. Segueing to get it and you being like, all right, y'all want to know my life. Here it is. Don't keep checking up on me. Like, how's it going? How you doing? We just checking. I'm going to turn this into art. So you have your hands in all these different pots in which you are executive producing and managing. What are you up to right now? What is the artistic trajectory? You kind of told me, you know, or like a week ago when we talked, but like, let us know what you're up to, because I think that one of the, if we were to say like triumph or whatever, I think that what people can take away, especially this year in which, you know, collectively in the world, and then we can even go, you know, we can get more and more micro and say United States, Black community. People have seen a lot of loss, and some people I don't think have ever experienced loss before. I actually did not even realize I lost my grandparents. The first funeral I had been to was for my grandparents, I believe, but I had known other people that passed. I didn't realize until my late 20s how many adults go through life without having ever known somebody to pass. Like, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, in that process. So you've turned life into art. You use comedy. You've found ways to transmute any pain, frustration, etc. What have you created from that? Where are you now?
Where am I right now? Right now, well, there's a bunch of things going on.
Right now,
first, you know, I've been turning everything. Like, I'll be a 35 a week from today. So I, at the beginning of 2020, I just had a long conversation with God about the last 10 years. On New Year's Eve, I just said, yo, God, like, I'm thankful for the last 10 years and all that I've been through, but something's got to change. I can't keep continuing. I just felt like I plateaued doing everything on my own, and I knew I needed others. Mm-hmm. And, somewhere along those lines, you know, COVID happened, and I'm, you know, being a third grade teacher and I'm not able to work on stuff and stuff just wasn't coming to me. I just knew, all right, I'm just going to wait. I'll let this first wave of content producers who are making content for the sake of content. I hate that shit. And I'll just kind of figure things out.
Was that your aside saying that you hate people doing that?
Yes. Yes, it was. I hate that shit. Hate it, hate it, hate it. I hate all y'all. Let me stop. I'm not gonna knock out hustle, but anyway. In that time, I just said to myself, like, all right, you know, Superman with Tim's on, I've been sitting on this. Now's the time to just get it going. And even just like, I know what my numbers are, I know what I wanted to do, I know the potential and its trajectory. Let's just do that to get the ball rolling. I started seeing a therapist in April, and that's really just kind of what kicked off everything else as well. And then, you know, I just started writing. Like I said, like, my ode to self-care, it was just supposed to be like, yo, I always write around music. So I thought it would just take me 30 minutes to a half hour, 50 days. All right, like, I'd be done in a month and a half and on my way. But just as time was happening or whatever, you know, and things required me to dig deeper, I just kept writing and just taking my time with it. So I just said, like, man, this is like really good and insightful. I got all the equipment to do it. Turn this into an audiobook. Because I know one of the things about how I write, or a lot of my content in general, the best part is always the caption if you know my voice, because it's usually just like really wry, something sharp and clever. And then just the way that I write, it always feels conversational. So why not add the voice to the words to get the full picture? And
yeah.
So there's that. And so, like I said, you know, once I'm finished, I got like four more to do. I'm going to start recording that and make it an audiobook.
Nice.
But at the same time, well, if I'm going to use it to market, but like I've been sitting on the idea for a while, read it because I wrote it like as a podcast where really I just need 10 to 15 minutes of your time to just like read it because I wrote it was my tagline. Like that was just, that was my marketing ploy. Yo. Read it because I wrote it. Like, if it's like, it tells you everything you need to know. Like, take 5-10 minutes, read this just because I wrote it. You know, it's damn good. So there you go.
I love it.
You know, so I came up with this idea. You know what? This means this will get me going at least writing once a week, no matter what other projects I have. I can find time to write one essay a week and record it. So each week would be two episodes. So I'll record something, I'll write and record something new. Like on Tuesdays, I'll put it on my site, the written version. On Thursdays, I'll release it as a recording. And then I'm going to give you one of the other 750 posts that's on my site where I'm going to read those. And then in 2020 or whatever it is, give you insight on reading something old. Because a lot of times we don't like our old stuff, you know, or whatever. And it's like it gives you a chance to kind of confront and rectify who you were. So let's just say if I wrote something and I decided to read it, this is a post from 2014 and I'm reading about it. And after I finish reading it, I just look back and say, okay, you know what? Okay. So at this time in 2000, whatever year it was, this is what I was going through. And I was writing this for whatever reason, some kind of existential, whatever from it. Like, that's the premise of the podcast. Each episode is, so far, each one I've recorded are between like 6 and 12 minutes. You know, so I'm short, light, boom, to the point. I know everybody's got other things they want to do. I just need a few minutes of your time, you know, because honestly, even just at the end of the day, what I want people, I just want people to see themselves in myself. Like, that's ultimately why I tell my story. And I hope it helps people tell theirs. You know, everybody's got a story. And just the name, that's the name of my country. The name of my company is I Am American Culture. Just, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's got a story and I want to help people tell theirs. You know, I got client work. So like I've been doing a lot of shooting for people and I've got some other projects, you know, like I'm working on something with my barber where it's just insight about it's insight from a barbershop. I think a lot of times people do like, they do the black barbershop content wrong. You know, they think, oh, it's just a place where people go and talk, or they just make, you know, they make talk shows about it. No offense to anybody that has any of this stuff, but it's a good idea for a talk show, but it's not honest. You know, it's a show, it's produced. So like, you know, I go in once or twice a week to my barber and I just shoot him with his clients, you know, the cuts and the conversations, you know, like, here's a perfect example of what it is. I asked my barber on the first day and I asked him, ask me if anybody's ever asked you this. How do you keep yourself from having the same conversations over and over and over again? If you cut 8 heads in a day and 7 of them are talking about what happened with LeBron, how do you handle that? And other than that, I started working on
it. I was like, are you asking me?
Finally hit
Wait,
me.
Well, Chad.
No.
I want to clip.
No. I was like,
I was like, oh, we're going to, so wait, are you going to give me a clip of that? Can I put that in the podcast? What are you going to give me a clip of? I mean, I feel like we had a nice pause. We might as well insert a clip there.
Yeah. Okay. That's good producing.
Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Other than that, I just started working on music again.
That's dope.
Like music died when my daughter's mother did, and just in time, like I would do things and dabble here and there, but then just one of my friends, we had a conversation and then we started working on music again. And you know, other than that, and it's being a job, so to speak, you know. All right, now I'm working on music for me again. But, you know, for me, like, because I'm constantly creative, then at least this point, me doing music in that sense, that becomes my hobby, even though it's still being creative, you know? So that's ultimately, that's pretty much where I've been since our last conversation.
Okay, okay, okay. And then Superman with Tim's on. Where are we?
We'll be back in January because I still have half of the season to go. And I want to put it out. And then, like I said, I'll say it here and I'll look in the camera and say it again. The whole purpose is this is a proof of concept. This is we here for the leverage. Somebody, if you can see all this that I'm doing on my own, pay me to do this with y'all cameras and we can make something, some ill shit, and everybody get something out of it.
I heard that.
I mean, but even with that said, like just that. The passion and the purpose. The passion and purpose behind it. No, I was going to say even just that, the passion and purpose behind it is just,
I was
going to
ask anyway.
Telling stories from Black fatherhood. Oh, continue.
That's it. No, I wanted you to tell, I wanted you to talk about it. Oh. I wanted you to tell people what it's about.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm producing it, doing your part. I'm sorry. I think like, it, you know, the fatherhood thing is, it's a part of who I am. So, you know, I like telling the stories, and like when I started off, I was the only person doing it. Like, you know, Madame Noir, when I first started, they was like, yo, we will pay you extra an article to be the Black dad writer because that didn't exist. So like you see a lot of these other, you know, Black father influencers and any of that stuff. When I started, none of it exists. So much it doesn't exist that I've literally seen several people take my logo. Like, that's how long ago it was when I started, you know, but nonetheless, like, you know what I'm like, I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to tell you this. And like, I know it's kind of going to be a flex, but I'm okay with it. So, you know how everybody now has quoted, the stats about, you know, that Black fathers are more involved than anybody else. Right. Mm-hmm. You've seen people do that. I was the first person to write about it in 2013. I was the first person to write about those statistics and that stuff. Because, like, I read about it, like, maybe some other place, but, like, in the Black fatherhood space. But, like, yeah. Like, no. Like, yeah. Right. Anybody else you see, right? You know, I
well,
did
then
that
you
first.
Need to,
like,
you need, like, you said, yeah, that's my flex. That's my flex.
Yeah. At this point, that's one of those things I'm kind of learning to do more. Like, you know what? At some point, if I'm not my own cheerleader, how can I expect anybody else to cheer for me? If I'm dope and I'm great at the things that I do, then you know what? I gotta flex.
This is facts, though. This is so that's chat to bring this like full circle. This, yeah, listen, you're in a rapper. To bring this full circle, though, like, this is the level of, so I remember, I don't even know the guy's name, and I'm not, like, I don't even know, but I remember that I was working at Playwrights Horizons in New York, so we would always, you know, talk about all the stuff, entertainment, whatever. So this is 2018 or early 2019, regardless, within the last 2 years. And some dude who worked with Issa Rae back when she was like the awkward Black girl days had said something about, like, it was an article, whatever, something about like saying that she was shady. And my friend, somebody was talking about it. And I was like, you know what? People always got something to say. And I said, I don't know her personally. At this time, I don't know him, never even heard of him, but I'm going to just say this. Every time people are on the come up, somebody want to come up and say, oh, you know, they did me dirty. And it's like, did they though? Were they really mean to you? Or did they just know who they were and why they were here? And they didn't have time for nobody's games. And so I second, third, fourth, and fifth, what you're saying, Chad, we need to get to a place where, especially for the independent creatives that don't got the budget or whatever, the, you know, the big industry buzz, you know, yet, you have to believe in yourself at that level in order for other people. And that includes the people, that includes you going into the barbershop and filming. Like, you have to have that energy. Otherwise, people are going to see you as somebody who just has a hobby, who is just doing a thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think that you need to hold yourself to that regard and be okay with people who are saying, be okay with people who say, oh, they think they all that. Oh, I was rocking with them in the beginning. It's like, you might have been on the project, but like, were you in the trenches with me? Because that's what this is about. That flex comes from being in the trenches. Like, you're able to flex on the statistics that you pull because you know they didn't exist because you had to go and research to find them. So that is how you flex, because you go through the trenches. All of that to say, that my monologue.
I'll tell you, it's kind of like this. Well, first of all, hey, producer life. Yo, I'll put it to you like this. So first of all, if somebody's got a problem, they're like, oh, so-and-so did me dirty or whatever. No, you did yourself dirty. So even if it's not something that you intentionally realized that you did, something about however it is that you see yourself is cause other people to respond the way that they did to you. So if you think people did you dirty, more than likely they didn't. It's how you viewed it and how you view yourself. And it's a lot easier to point your fingers at other people than to turn around and say, you know what, it's on me. So that is number one. Anybody I know in her camp, and I know a few people have no stories like that. But even with that said, how others treat you more often than not is a reflection of self. Even if I take it back to my in-laws, the way they treated me was because of who I was. I was naive and they took advantage of that. So even with that said, that may just be you live and you learn, but nonetheless, that's still something about energy I gave off. So at the end of the day, you can only be responsible for yourself. I say a lot of times, like, you know, self-awareness isn't just being aware of who you are. It's being aware of who you are and how you come off and others perceive you. It's both of those. That's true insight. Sometimes it ain't necessarily who, you know, people who are in the trenches with you. You know what? Like, sure, you know, the flex comes from not just being in the trenches. Those only certify and confirm your flex when you can. It comes from a mindset before that. Like, if or when in doubt, if you keep telling yourself you're great, like, I'll give it an example. Like, read it because I wrote it. And I'll tell you, this is the first episode of the podcast. But ultimately, what happens is, like, when I first said that, it was just something that rolled off my tongue. But I didn't have the confidence in myself as a writer. I never saw myself as a writer. And it was really, at first, it was kind of like, hey, guys, you know, read it because I, you know, it was masking with sarcasm, you know, my lack of confidence. Just, you know, read it because I wrote it. But then the feedback started coming back. Oh, people started saying this is good. You know, my editor was like, hey, have you had editorial experience? So I wound up saying it in some capacity or another every day. And it just, it changed how I wrote. And because I got good feedback and I started seeing that and telling that to myself every day, then eventually, hey, read it because I wrote it became read it because I wrote it. Because I'm fucking an amazing writer. Even if you don't like what I have to say, I can assure you, you will say, you know what? That is a good read. So, you know, it started off, hey, read it because I wrote it. But then it became, nah, read it because I wrote it. You're welcome. You know? And that's the thing.
So I have a question for you. Because you talked about
how people...
It is. It does start with... It starts within. And I actually would also offer to people... who, and then I know this from very recent experience, you can also redeem when you realize, like, oh, shoot, this person is disrespecting me, or they're talking to me, you know, as my parents go growing up, talking out the side of their neck, you know, they talking to me all kinds of ways. What have I done? You can, when you realize that, back to that self-awareness, when you realize, like, okay, what have I done? That means that's when you take a step back and you see and you recall. You got it. Sometimes it's something as simple as someone throwing you shade on the phone, and you're so caught up in who they are in the industry that, or what they can do for you, quote unquote, that you not even paying attention to their energy towards you. Or people will tell you about themselves, producers specifically, we're speaking to you. People will tell you about themselves and where they stand from the get. You just need to, again, going back to that discernment, that intuition, you need to be able to sharpen that so that you can pick up. Because what I will say that I believe, I think there's many reasons, but one of the things that differentiates a lot of people, I say this all the time, I say, everybody want to be Issa Rae, but nobody wants to be Issa Rae. I will never forget, she had a tweet, and if I did some research, I probably could find it. But she had a tweet that was pinned to the top of her Twitter. Yes, it was pinned. A pinned tweet, and I think she unpinned it maybe at this point a year and a half, 2 years ago. But it was pinned for a while, even when Insecure had come out. And I don't know the date, but I want to say it was maybe like December 31st, like let's say 2013, something not that long ago. And she was just like, I can't believe I'm up working while everyone's out, you know, for New Year's Eve. I'm paraphrasing it, but it was something like that. And she was up working on New Year's Eve, and everyone was doing what you do on New Year's Eve, party and shit, sipping champagne. It's that helps you. It's not what I even like. You're able to go on to social media and to post and share these things you've done because of the quiet and because of what you're doing behind the scenes. And that's how you're also able to build that discernment, because when you begin to value yourself, you can easily identify those that do not value you. And when you value yourself enough, you're not trying to prove to these people to value you. So you're able to say no to those things that do not align with how you see yourself. And you know, and there's people who can fiend that and can go out into the industry, but it'll always catch up with you. And it could be in the circles you're in. It could be in a scandal that happens. There's always a way that catches up that like, ooh, that person, this person was a superstar. Why were they kicking it with that person? Why were they in the wrong place at the wrong time? It comes to your value systems, to your self-worthiness. So that's a word to producers that, you know, it's not about like, oh, how do I become the next? Da-da-da. You want to be the best you. And the way you do that is first figuring out who you are.
And just that you know who you are is always going to change. So who are you in the moment, who you were? Like, you know, all the above. You're trying to figure out these things. You know, who am I right now? At the end of the day, that's the question. And how does that compare to what I was or whatever else? You know, what you seek, you will find. And that's something as much as possible. You just have to try to keep in check, you know. Like one thing about me, and this is one of those things that I do, is like, I know I'm an overthinker and it's something that I can't help, but I've learned to embrace it. So in embracing it, what I've learned is that, with that as an example, is people often stop at overthinking. They get overwhelmed in the feelings that come along with it, and then they freeze or they run away. They shut down. If I'm overthinking, I'm going to embrace all the feelings and just, I call it going through the gauntlet. Because on the other side of overthinking is always a plan or a great idea. So are you going to run from the uncomfortable feeling or just go through all the intense shit that comes along with it? Because then after that, you go, there it is.
Still does, but he sees me. I have like a glazed over look when I'm getting an idea, and I just it you know, going along with the overthinking, and I just disappear into it. Like my body's there, but I just disappear into the ideas, and I disappear into them, and I see them. And it's actually now that I've fine tuned my instrument and my creative instrument overall, in spiritual as well, is I understand that it's really, it's a lot of creative visualization that causes that overthinking. You're like, you're creating scenarios in your head, no matter how it manifests itself, even as a little kid, sometimes, well, what do I do? It's very creative. Mm-hmm. You're creating this reality, and there's a way to shape that into something that brings you joy. And let's be honest, some profit too, you know, some joy and some money too. So there's, you know, let's not forget about that. Okay, Chad, we're going to move into the final segment of this. Hurt, heal, joy.
All right.
I don't know if you remember it. What? Yep. Do you remember? If so, take it away.
Yeah. I don't know. Remind me. I remember the segment, but yeah, be yourself.
Okay. So, hurt what currently hurts. It could be personal, the world. What do you want to heal? Personal, the world, whatever. And what brings you joy?
Well, what's hurting right now is this girl. Now, let me stop. What's hurting the most right now for me personally is this part of my journey where I'm still figuring this vulnerability thing out, because it's requiring me to deal with a lot of intense hurt. So if you ask me today, that's my answer to that. What would I like to heal? I think in general, where we are specifically, let's just say in this country, even just with race relations and just the political landscape of what it is reconciliation. You know, like I remember now I'm thinking about it. I remember in our last podcast, we talked about how COVID and quarantine was the great equalizer, you know, for everything. Mm-hmm. And we're not letting it equalize the way that it could. You know, you think about what's happened in South Africa.
Talk about
Africa,
it. Wait, we gotta
dig deeper. They never wound up going the way South Africa happened was they, you know, after apartheid, people said, hey, here's what I did. We were wrong. We're sorry. How can we make things better for all of us? And that's not something people want to do here, because just in general, we're individualistic. We're on the verge of everybody having to shut down again, because as opposed to being an equalizer, it's all right. Well, you know what? This is compromising my way of life and it's making me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the case. And the other one is, what brings me joy right now?
Hold right quick. I want to dig into this.
Little things are always the big. Okay.
I want to dig into this because you bring something up that is, well, first of all, time being cyclical, relative, etc., is so real and I think this year has for me proven that. For one, the simple fact that I started this podcast in March of 2020. And it is now mid-November 2020. That is shocking to me, because I don't feel like if I were to take this year and compare it to 2019, 2018, I don't feel like it has been as much time in between March and November as it has been in previous years. I feel like I've done a lot, but even that feels like there's like 50 million different versions of me. When we talk about who you are at this moment, who I am right now is light years different than who I was in March. I mean, she's very different in how many times I've changed and transitioned and reformed myself this year. But when you talk about the great equalizer, I have to say that I really agree in the sense of there's not much of me that my mind that said, oh, quarantine is over. And obviously a lot of people believed that, like they're traveling, whatever, safely is a different thing, but people, I never thought, oh, it's over, because there's never been a signal to say, oh, it's over. We should just be out and about just the same as we would be any other year. And so I find it shocking at how individualistic we've actually become, because you're actually seeing that mirror, like, oh boy, like we're back to square one in many places. And it's just every day, another place is back to square one. And square one meaning, you know, right, sheltering in place, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's very,
yeah, it's, and you know, that's, you know, that's good. That means what you've been doing with the time, you've been doing the right thing with your time. That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the day, pat yourself on the back for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll be patting myself on the back.
Well, you know, like I said, you got to do that.
We stays humble, but we also stays aware. Chad, what brings you joy?
The little things. The little things, because you treat the little things like big things. You know, like one of the things my dad used to tell me, like, and it was just with regards to relationships, but it was really just like, it made a lot of sense in the sense where he was like, you know, you have more bad days at work than you do anniversaries and birthdays and all that other stuff, you know? So those little things constantly add up. So like, let's just say in a relationship context, the person who's there with you, oh, you had a mad bad days at work, you know, they're going to be more than your birthdays or whatever. Like, so those little things that just make whatever, that make life easier, better, funnier, whatever, those are the things. And for me, like I said, because my sense of humor is just my go-to in these times, you know, if I can't find something to laugh at or about through it, it's really got to me. So, you know, the little things, you know, my daughter being a certain age, and just the little things that she says, and it just makes me smile a little bit, because you know what, she's 9 and she's just being 9, and it's sweet to see her be that way. Or, you know, every once in a while you get that, you know, you get that text from, you know, that person you got your eye on, and they got their eye on you, but y'all too scared to say it. But, you know, they slip in a little something extra, and it just lets you know. And you're like, oh, you know what? That was enough to get me by, you know, that time, yo, that time you driving down Manhattan and you get 30 blocks of green lights. Awesome. You know, like the little things. Those things add up and become momentum if you let them.
If you let them. That's major. When you said your dad said about more bad days at work, it reminds me of something my therapist told me last November, and it would have been probably to the date about exactly a year, because it was mid-November last year before Thanksgiving. And she said to me, you're having a lot more bad days than you are good days. And you're supposed to have more good days. And I'll never forget that literally shifted something in me, because it's not that I didn't know I was having a lot of bad days. I mean, I was pretty, I would say my job, my life style and just not being with family, et cetera, I would say that I was pretty darn depressed. And efficient nonetheless, but like within myself, I wasn't happy within myself. And that stuck with me. And it has been the turning around of that this year. And for me, gratitude at how much has been stripped away, how many distractions have been stripped away, so that it could become the little things. You could remember, like, what brought me joy when I was a little girl? What did I do? I just used to sing in my room. I used to just sing in my room. It would be praise and worship music, whatever. I would just sing in my room. And I do that now. I just sing in my room. What are those things, those little things that bring you joy? Because there's going to be enough of the darkness in the world. You have to know how to get back to center, you know, that baseline of why I'm here and what, and really it comes down to love, you know, like, and gratitude. So that's really powerful advice that your dad planted within you. Any last things, Chad? before we get to how we can support you, because we'll get there.
I don't know. I think we've covered some good ground. I think
actually I do. Yeah.
Check me out. I don't know. That's all I got, I guess.
I have.
Oh, well, you know what? Here's one last thing I will say.
But
congrats to you.
Perfect. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Chad. Thank you. I appreciate that. yes, it is. Thank you, Chad. How can we support you? Where are you? Let the people know.
I'm Chad Milner on Twitter, Instagram. Almost everything I do is on Instagram, just because like that's my portfolio for those that would like to hire me to do something or pay a consulting fee or whatever it is. You can see some of everything that I have going on there, and not just there and following that. If you look at my IG stories, I tend to work like a stand-up comedy. So that's usually the place where I'm working ideas out. Also, I am American Culture
Chad
on YouTube. That's where I've got
You have to clarify, because there's a white Chad Milner. I remember this. There's the white Chad Milner. How do we find the black Chad Milner?
No, I'm Chad. Right. I'm Chad Milner. I'm Chad Milner. Right. Because there is Chad Travis Milner, who also does short sales in Texas. And there's Chad Milner in Lawrenceville, who's now the CEO of the Milner Group. And from time to time, he gets my email, but will tell me, hey, let me get, I keep getting email of yours. Hey, well, can you forward it to me? Yo, I deleted it. What's the point of you telling me? That's some real Chad Milner shit for you to do. But, you know.
We had to clarify.
But, yeah. Thank you. Yes, I'm Chad Milner. You'll see the black. When you see the black guy, there is another black guy, Chad Milner, too. I'm not the bald one. I'm the one with hair. Right now, I got braids, all that. Like, you'll see me with a little cute kid and stuff. Like, you'll know it's me when you see it. I'm Chad Milner on the platforms. My company is I Am American Culture on YouTube. Even though, you want to check out Superman with Tim's On, it's there. Or you can just type in Superman with Tim's On in YouTube. Sydney B, Sydney Podcast. Sydney is with a C. Is on Spotify, Apple, and SoundCloud. And Read It Because I Wrote It, by the time this is out, should be out and should be on the same platforms as well.
Dope. And I'll have all links in the info box below. So we'll be good.
Hey now.
Awesome. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Inside Out Podcast. Chad, thank you. Hey, before you go, this has been another episode of Inside Out Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or follow on Spotify. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Y'all Right Productions, for more digital and visual content coming your way soon. Follow Inside Out Podcast on Instagram and follow me, Ms. Right on Time, on the gram and Twitter. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm your host, Yamoria Wright. See it, say it, spell it, and don't wear it out.